What's wrong with us? We're a little bit ago. We were talking about our favorite murders of this movie in this franchise.
A little bit ago, we were talking about Spy Kids. So you know, here we are. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Amela Voorhees' decapitated head speaking here. That was my son that drowned in that lake.
When did Pamela Voorhees become Jeff Goldblum? Like, aha, Pamela, Voorhees here. Ha, Jason, you're being very bad. Yes.
Kill for mommy. Kill for mommy.
I would be terrified of Jeff Goldblum with a machete.
Ooh, ha ha. It's sharp, and watch out. It'll got ya.
Yeah, and I'll wear my jeans. indeed. Goss over there, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And what we do here on the pod is every single show we take, we watch a film. We then take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just modern booking for the modern audience. We recast for today's day and age. We've also done some retro casts in the factory and some other different things, such as taking an animated film and imagining what it would look like live, baby, live, and taking Little Rascals, for example, and imagining what it would look like if pro wrestlers played the Little Rascals. So a lot of fun to be had on the show, and welcome back in. I know it has been a bit of a break here. We originally intended to do 4 shows for the Halloween season, but life has been crazy as of late, as just in general, catching back up and getting busy and all sorts of things. So we get to it when we can get to it, and here we are. Get it, got it, good, great, wonderful. And here we are, one day before Halloweeny, recording our...
By the time the Spit listeners hear it, it'll be Halloween indeed.
Yeah, so with that being said, what did we watch for our Halloween finale of our two-part season?
Good. We dipped our toe into one of the... I guess more, synonymous horror movie franchises, and that's the Friday the 13th, and we did Friday the 13th Part 3, 3D. Why did we pick this one? Well,
it's where my stuff is.
That's pretty much what it feels like. And it's the one where Jason gets his iconic look. The killer of the horror movie franchise, Jason, puts that hockey mask on for the first time.
And he gets his machete.
Yes, that's... I guess so. It all kind of came together in this one. Yeah, and in part two, where Jason is introduced as the killer, he dons a potato sack and a pickaxe.
Yeah.
So this is definitely more the route they decided to go in.
Yeah, and that's what you think of when you think Jason. I was talking to my one buddy the other day, and he asked what horror movies we had done, and I said we did Halloween, and we were doing Friday the 13th Part 3. And he's like, why Part 3? Why not 1 or 2? And I was like, well, I've never actually seen 1 or 2, but 3, in my opinion... And, you know, my opinion is obviously skewed because of what I just said. But in my opinion, 3 is what... When you think Jason, no one thinks potato sack and pickaxe. No one... There are people that think, like, oh, his mom's the killer in the first one. But when you think Jason Voorhees, the iconic slasher, you know, villain, it's hockey mask, it's machete. Danny Trejo in his hand, which would be even more terrifying. What if he was walking around with just Danny Trejo in his, and both is like, he just had him and he was beating people to death with Danny Trejo.
be more lethal.
Yeah.
More efficient.
And it's let's make this movie happen. Fuck the factory. We're going to make this movie.
It's been done.
It's spy kids, but they're being chased by Jason, and he's got Uncle Machete.
Not your uncle. No, that's a different character. But anyway.
That's Cheech. Or yeah. Is that Chong? That's Cheech.
Cheech Marin.
Oh, God. We need to watch Spy Kids sometimes. This is besides the point, but that movie is awfully good.
Say, speaking of spooky,
those thumbs. And those boys and girls of every age. Wouldn't you like to see something strange?
That is not even the right song.
I know, but it's Floop. I'm thinking, like, I'm mixing the song, the Halloween, to that. Like,
you're trying to keep it relevant to Halloween.
Yes.
Because
what is his song?
It's a cruel, cruel world.
Well, all you pretty girls and boys. Yeah. That one.
Pretty girls and boys.
I don't know. Have you ever seen Spy Kids recently and thought, man, this movie's put together well?
Last time I watched it, this will sound good. Last time, we're talking Friday the 13th here, kids. But for a moment,
nah, we're talking Spy Kids.
A couple years ago, I was watching it, and I was really sick, had a fever. So watching
it made Spy you Kids, puke.
Watching Spy Kids just felt like a fever dream.
Yeah, man. And then you puked.
I did.
You puked when he put on his mustache. But anyways, back to Friday the 13th. We got Friday the 13th here, part 3, and I do think it is really when Jason became the icon, what you expect of a Friday the 13th movie. And I don't know, I mean, you would know, because you're the one that bought it, but why was it that this was the only Friday the 13th movie we owned?
So, was in high school. It was October spooky season. I was with a buddy, and I don't know if you remember this, but he was going to stay with us for a few days while his parents were traveling. So he stayed with us, and we went to Walmart, and he was like, let's, there was like the horror movie section. He's like, let me pick, or you pick something and I'll buy it for us to watch tonight. So we were looking, and we saw Friday the 13th Part 3, and the only reason we grabbed that one was because it was in 3D, and it had the 3D glasses. So we're like, oh, that could be kind of funny to watch this movie in 3D, and it was. That is the only reason we got is because we saw it was in 3D.
And it came with the glasses.
And it came with glasses, and we rocked it. And yeah, that was... like, I had caught some of the movies on TV, yeah. You know, back in the day. Mainly the first and second one I had seen a lot. But the other ones just kind of eluded me. It was actually after we got the third one and watched that I kind of explored the Friday the 13th movies more. Shortly after that, honestly, I baked sick one day. And skipped school, sorta.
That was like your entire senior year of high school.
I just stayed home, and I ended up watching like three or four. I think it was three of these movies. I just found them online and watched. I believe it was the fifth one, the sixth one, and the eighth one.
Yuck! Was that the final chapter?
No, that's the ninth one. This eighth one is Jason Takes Manhattan.
Shit.
Which is god awful. Honestly,
Jason fights the Muppets in Manhattan.
That would be great.
Let's pit Jason against everything and see what sticks.
That's a great title.
Jason against everything.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think there's a movie in this franchise, and there's 11 of these movies.
That's
12 if you
good.
Twelve if you count Freddy versus Jason. None of them are good. The first one, there's a charm to each of them.
Yeah.
But like, as far as like well-made movies, that's debatable. Does it build tension well? Yes. Does it have a cool atmosphere in each of them? Yes. Is it iconic? Yes. Is the music great? That's debatable too. But and the third one is great.
They were like trying. They were really trying in that one.
Are the kills creative? Yes, for the most part. Has some good practical effects here and there. But I don't know. These movies throughout the series were made on a shoestring budget, and it kind of shows. The actors aren't always the greatest. But what was cool about this franchise is it brought to us a lot of actors who'd boom in their career. I mean, the original had Kevin Bacon in maybe his first role, if not one of his earliest. And then in the fourth one, it had Crispin Glover, who the following year would be in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And his career would blow up too. And also had,
did he walk Corey up Feldman. To Jason and say, look, Jason?
And he says, hey, whatever, where's the damn corkscrew? And then he turns around, gets a corkscrew in the hand, and then he gets a meat cleaver in the face.
Hey, but none of them movies had Larry Zerner in them.
Is Larry Zerner the actor who played Shelley?
Yeah.
In Friday the 13th, Part 3.
Yeah. My God.
What's he say? He's like, would you not wear a mask if you look like this?
Like, well, your self-esteem needs killed first, and then maybe we can pick that
He's
up.
He's like, my self-esteem is already killed.
I kinda. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, his character, I don't know. Like, I didn't get the point of his character, because nothing... We'll talk. I guess let's break the movie down. So this movie picks up pretty much directly following part two. Yeah, like yes. In the weeks following, is it, or just days following?
So part two is on Friday the 13th. It ends, and the sequel starts the next day.
Okay,
and that's the opening scene where Jason comes, you know, removes the machete out of his body.
He like grabs it. Like they leave the shed and his hand starts to move.
Right, right. That's it. And then
it plays the View to Kill Bond theme. And then it goes into.
He kills that family, right?
Dude, that's good stuff. The opening, like intro past like the recap of the second film, in that opening bit is some good stuff.
Yeah, I liked it too. Like, it's like drying of the laundry, and you just kind of you see Jason just like walk here and there, and it's creepy. But this is technically Saturday the 14th. Okay, he stalks these people.
So you tell me this them. Movie's title is full of shit.
It is, because the rest of the movie takes place on Sunday the 15th, technically.
Fucking assholes. They should have thought ahead of this. They should have said, like, Friday the 13th, Friday the 14th. Or Saturday the 14th.
Yeah. Friday the 13th, Saturday the 14th.
The killing didn't stop on Friday, so we're now calling it Saturday, Friday the 13th.
Man. Yeah, it's a mess, but...
What I'm trying to say tonight, so...
The continuity of this series is a mess because, one, Jason, I guess, reemerges, right, in the second one, and he does his killing. But the last girl of this movie, Chris is the character's name.
Yeah.
She was dreading coming back here because to the camp. Because a year or two previously, or several years before, she was attacked by this deformed person.
Yeah.
And she's like, he grabbed me and I just blacked out. I don't remember what happened. And it was so scary. And she doesn't know if it was like a dream or really happened, blah, 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 blah. Turns out that was Jason Voorhees. And, that scene alone messes with the continuity. One, because Jason looks completely different, but that he looks different every movie.
Yeah. And, one, because she survived.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that too. And yeah, it's just a messy continuity. I mean, I'll just briefly touch on that scene. They chose to rewrite that scene because in the script, yeah, he attacks Chris and doesn't just, she's like, I black out, I don't know what happened. In the original script, he rapes her.
Oh, well, and that's definitely something.
Yeah, they said they planned on this being the final movie, so they wanted Jason to be, you know, completely unlikable and to, like, want to be destroyed, I guess. Because yeah. During this time, you know, a lot of the horror movie character, the killer, was the main focal point. It was what was popular, you know, to go to see these movies for.
Yeah.
You know, you had success with not only Friday the 13th 1 and 2, but like things like Halloween and its sequels up to this point. This movie came out in 1982, so, but there's a slew of other things. So they wanted to just really push Jason full heel in this one. But they decided to change that because it just was a little too dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough and too dark for, and tonally just not what they were going for ultimately. So they nixed that idea for the better.
Yeah, because I always thought that was kind of jarring because it was like, I'm like, is this a dream that she had or a flashback? Or like, it just all seemed kind of odd.
And the reason they kept going after this movie, because it was supposed to be the definitive end, these movies are made so cheap and they make so much money. This movie was made for $4 million in 1982 and it made like almost $40 million. So big profit.
And yeah, because they were event movies, so to speak. Your date movies back in the day.
This was the first movie, or it was the movie to dethrone E.T., the extraterrestrial, from the box office number one. It was like,
when did this movie come out officially?
1982.
82. Okay.
So I think E.T. came out February or April of that year. And this movie came out in October, I believe. September, October. So for that entire run, E.T. was number one at the box office. Like, I think only one, maybe two other movies have had a long run like that of so many consecutive weeks being number one, E.T. being that, and I think Home Alone are the ones that come to mind anyway. I could be wrong with that, but it feels right to say.
Star Wars Force Awakens was on top for a really long time, or was it Avengers?
Yeah, not either one, it doesn't matter. Not that long, you know. It came out in June. E.T. did June, and then let's see, Friday the 13th Part 3 came out in August. So not even that
Why
long.
August? I hate that. I hate it. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand why people release like Christmas movies or Halloween movies in the summer. Like, the newest Grinch movie made by Illumination was released in July or something like that.
Yeah,
why? So it can be ready for July. So it can be ready for the holiday season, like, to be released, so you can,
like as a gift, yeah.
But I always thought, why not make it a push? That's an event. Like, oh, it's Christmas time, let's go see a Christmas movie in theaters. Makes more sense. Same with Halloween. Like,
it's a strategy.
Like, we went to see Halloween Kills in theaters because we watch horror movies at this time of year. So we're going to go, you know, watch in theaters.
It's a strategy thing. It has to do with, it's all statistics and, like, when people typically go to see movies.
Summer
and, like late December or like November, December.
I'd almost
like the
imagine there's got to be another statistic there though that says like what genres primarily succeed in what months. Mm-hmm. Because was it October that it held like a box office record? Like it was like the highest grossing film in that month of all time. It's like September.
Some of these records are so weird. It's like this is the highest grossing film of this genre, of this rating that came out on this week and this day of all time. Like, no shit. But yeah, so that's getting back to it. That's why they kept going with part 4, 5, 6 and beyond for the Friday the 13th movie, because they could be made for pennies and you make dollars. And they just continue to explore the mythology, as in they just make new shit up all the time. And the continuity is never upheld, really.
It's all about them kills.
Other than some of the visuals of Jason, really, like his mask. Like, from the third one, the end of this movie, he gets got in the top of his mask through his head. And that cut in the mask continues throughout the series up until up until Freddy versus Jason.
You ever watched Freddy versus Jason?
Have I ever watched it?
Yeah.
Get out of town. Of course I have. I just watched it recently.
The only thing I've ever seen of that is when he kills the guy in, like, the fold-away bed.
That's the best kill of that movie, for sure.
That's the only thing I've seen of that one.
That's one of Jason's best kills, yeah. I've seen all of them. I've seen all of the Friday the 13th movies. I've seen all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Officially, I've seen all of them as of today. Like, I've seen bits and pieces of the 6th Nightmare on Elm Street movie, but today I watched all of it, and it's awful.
You would have been upset with me last night. We watched The Conjuring. Devil Made Me Do It. Meh. And then we proceeded to lay down, and we were going to watch another movie, and I was like, I want to watch another horror movie. And wife was like, oh, are you trying to do your last hoorah of horror movies? And I said, yep, because once it gets past Halloween, I don't watch scary movies anymore. It's just out of principle. And so I'm like scrolling, and I went on the Peacock and went over to the Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'm like, you know what? I've watched Dream Warriors, and I've watched the remake, but I've never watched the original. So maybe, maybe I'll watch the original. So I'm hovering over the original. I'm about to hit Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one. Watch it for the first time in my life. And then I look at the wife and I say, you know what I haven't watched this year? Halloween Town. And I turned on Halloween Town instead.
I would say you made a poor decision, but it sounds like a good decision. As in, yes, Halloween Town is fucking amazing.
Like it? I figured that'd be one that you like grew to hate, because it is very cheesy and like,
oh yeah,
not a good movie. But it's like you have to watch Halloween Town and Hocus Pocus every year. It's just not
Hocus
complete.
Pocus is actually a good movie.
Hocus Pocus is a really good movie.
Halloween Town's an interesting one. It's like I'm curious if today, if someone had never seen Halloween Town and they watched it for the first time, would they like it? And I don't mean a kid. I mean like a 30-year-old man.
Oh, no.
I love it, and it's mostly out of nostalgia. But now I kind of want to watch that movie. You need to see Nightmare on Elm Street, for sure. I did not know you've never seen the original. The original is very good.
Can I real quick, though, just before we continue on to that from Halloween Town, I popped myself real good, though, because the opening credit sequence is just a pumpkin, like, and it's zooming in on the pumpkin. And in my head, I was like, what if this movie just had the Halloween soundtrack instead of all this goofy music? And I was like, it would be so much better. Like, when the grandma's walking, like, she gets off the bus for the first time, she's, like, walking to their house, and her, like, suitcase is following her. If it was, like, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
I was like, this would be so much better. Or even the opening credit when it's zooming in on the pumpkin. It's bing, beep, 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 beep. I was like, this would be, someone needs to make that edit. Like, Halloween Town, but with Halloween soundtrack.
That'd be good. You just did the little, you were going beep 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 beep. I was like, what if she drops her suitcase and plays the Exorcist theme song?
Oh, geez.
It's kind of like that classic shot.
They tried to copy that in that Conjuring movie.
Yes, they did. It was very explicit. But I there's so many horror movies, and there's so many that are like must watches every season, right? So me, personally,
I got the ones I have to watch every year.
Yeah,
already.
That's why you don't get to see new things. You just said after October is over, you're kind of capped on horror movies, mostly throughout the year. I know you catch one every now and then.
Yeah.
I try to, I don't care. I watch them year round if I'm in the mood. But there is something about watching a horror movie, a spooky movie, in the October month. It just feels right. The leaves are crisp. So is the air.
There's always a creepy feel. I don't know if it's everything, like the dying around you, but there's always, I remember explicitly in college, I was staying at the wife's apartment, and she was like in a populated area, and it was Halloween time, and we had just watched a horror movie or something, and she had gone to bed, and I was like, I went into the kitchen to make a sandwich or something, and I looked out her window into the parking lot, and I mean, it was just a parking lot, but I got the EBGBs just because it was Halloween time. Like, there's just something creepy in nature about this time of year here. I think in where we're at in the world, you know,
yeah,
if we were in like Florida, I'd be like, ah, this feels the same.
You want to hear something real cozy? I was watching Friday the 13th, part 3D. Lights are dim. Had my little candle lit. Had that window open, so I was getting a little cool air in. Eating a bag of mini Twix. Just gnawing on them.
Shit. Yeah, it would have been better if you like had my snow caps.
Yeah.
Snow caps and popcorn and a Coke.
That sounds like what I might do tonight.
Yeah, I know. Hell.
I have so much candy. We bought a bag of candy to give out to trick-or-treaters, and we just ate it. The same night we bought it.
We've kind of done that too. We bought a bag of like 155, like it has like Reese's and the Hershey's cookies and cream and shit like that. And we bought it like 3 weeks ago and we put it in a thing and everything. And trick or treating's tomorrow night here in the neighborhood. And it's like we've eaten like half this.
Yeah. We got
it's a, like out of principle. A, you see it, you're a, like, yeah, mine.
A very particular thing for trick-or-treaters. But the lady bought an extra bag yesterday just in case we eat those two.
You go, the kids come, you eat all the candy again, kids come, and you're like, shit, we got to give them something. And that's when you're like, and a Cornish game hen for you? And a Cornish game hen for you? Would you like gravy? Sure, you'd like gravy. That's what you'll give out.
It's a big daddy when he's taking his kid trick-or-treating and the guy's like, go away, and he breaks into his house and he's like gives him CDs and the watch. He's like, you like the watch? Give him the watch.
I think I haven't seen Big Daddy in years. I was quoting Family Guy. Hell, even Baker Mayfield has a recent commercial where he gives kids they come to this Brown Stadium, they're trick-or-treating the Brown Stadium, and he dumps a bunch of chips in their bags and then gets the nacho cheese dispenser. He dumps it. He's like, you guys want nachos? Sure you do.
I don't know who Baker Mayfield is.
Quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Home insurance commercial extraordinaire.
Indeed. So, getting back to it.
Yeah, we've been very off topic here.
Well, we're talking October spooky month and such, and Baker Mayfield. But you just mentioned like commercials. The commercial for this movie, as in what made you want to go see it, was the 3D. It was the first movie who's made this movie? Universal. First movie to be in 3D in like 30 years from that studio. They had all kinds of troubles with this big ass camera, and different takes took so much time because they were trying to, you know, do real gimmicky stuff like throw the wallet right at the camera lens or make sure this stick is pointing right at the lens in a very particular way, just so it really popped.
Yeah,
got to make sure that yo-yo is going the right.
What's that? The very first one where the guy's like fixing the laundry with a pole and it comes at you. Like watching it without the 3D effect, even if you didn't know, because when you like click it, it doesn't say like Friday the 13th 3D. It says Friday the 13th Part 3 now. So you're watching it. If you don't know that this is supposed to be like this was originally a 3D film, you watch this and you're like, what is going on? Because it's just like a stick in the middle of the screen going in circles. And you're like, ah.
There's a scene where they're juggling. And yeah. It's just like, they're juggling for way too long. Like, why are you guys juggling? As if it was in 3D.
But then the guy loses by the power of sex.
Yeah, that's as everyone does.
But
not old Shelley though.
No, not Shelley. Shelley would have been the hero of this film if he wasn't such an asshole.
Yeah, so we kind of touched on it earlier, but in all these movies, you get introduced to your teenage characters, right? And each of them has their little stereotype, I guess. You got your stoner characters, you got your bully characters, your jocks, you know, the sex crazed boys and girls, and you get the nerdy characters, and here's Shelley, who we keep mentioning. He's kind of synonymous with this movie, one for his personality and his antics throughout the film, but he brings along a box of all these like practical jokes and makeup and all this stuff. It's his whole world in that box. But within that box,
you'll see.
Yeah.
What?
In this box is the hockey mask that Jason takes and wears, and that is his iconic look.
So he's a needed character.
Exactly. But he pranks people, practical jokes, by scaring them. And he thinks it's funny, and no one likes it. He's a pain in the ass. And he says at one point, someone's like begging with him, like, why? Why do you do this? He's like, I just want you to like me. Like, you're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah. If no one likes it, he's like, if all else fails, try again.
All else fails, scare the shit out of them. Yeah. Then they'll like me.
Do it again, and then another time, and then another time. I mean, hell, what? He, like, finally confesses to the girl that was, like, his blind date that he likes her. And she's like, I'm going to go take a walk. I'll think about it. And then we'll come back in and we'll talk. And it's like, hey, that's kind of a good sign. Like, maybe you're making progress. And then he immediately scares her again.
Yeah.
By, like, going way... He's, like... He's way too talented to be like this. Because that man goes to extraordinary lengths.
Yes, he does. He goes full scuba gear with a harpoon gun.
Full cowling.
Yeah, to scare this girl. But a lot of these things are like precursors or to some of the kills. So, yes, he brings out this harpoon gun. Guess who gets killed with a harpoon gun? This girl. What else? People break into the barn. Guess what happens? They get killed in that barn. There was that whole subplot that was a little weird. It was just
the
created. Yeah, the bikers. It was just created just to add a body count. Like, you get introduced to these three bikers at a grocery store, a little market, and they kind of terrorize our teenage characters, only to shortly, like, within the next 10-15 minutes, to show up at their camp to mess with them some more, and they immediately get killed.
Doesn't Shelley knocks over their bikes?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean,
because that never gets old.
No,
This is the first movie it ever happened. First movie, promise.
He knocks their bikes over, peels out, knocks the dude down, and drives away. And like I don't know, heroic fashion. He's like, I did it. He's talking to the girl. I did it. Did I do it? Like, yeah, you were great. And then later he's like, she doesn't like me. I'm going to scare the shit out of her.
Yeah. It wouldn't have surprised me if by the end of the film, he was the bad guy. Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if it was actually him that was the killer.
I mean, that would be more in line with the fifth Friday the 13th movie. Because the fourth one was titled The Final Chapter. And they kill Jason dead in that movie. But He kind of returns in the next one. He's a little different looking, though. But that, spoiler alert, but turns out, yeah, it's not Jason. It's actually a paramedic seen earlier in the movie who's mimicking the kills of Jason. Yeah, it's that fifth one. Fifth one's notorious for being awful. It's not awful. It's just the fact that you know it's not Jason just takes away some of the charm of the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, another thing of charm with these movies has to be said. Not a strong, like, positive thing in today's world or in general, but these movies were notorious for sex scenes, you know. That's, like, a part of the reason a lot of, like, young teenage people went and saw these movies.
Notorious and synonymous.
Yes, that's better. So I guess I have to mention that because each of these movies is just loaded with that kind of stuff. And that's where the stereotype came from. Like, you have sex in the movie, you die. You know, that's where the rule came from pretty much, or became very popular.
Yeah. Halloween had that as well.
Yeah. You have sex in the movie, Jason's going to kill you. Cause that's what happened. Jason's character, he was a young boy and attended the Camp Crystal Lake, and he couldn't swim, and some other kids were bullying him and pushed him in the lake, and he drowned because none of the camp counselors were around because they were off having sex with each other. So now Jason is kind of making sure that never happens again.
By killing everyone.
Yes. You can't have sex if you're dead.
If all of you are dead.
So that's part of the charm, of Friday the 13th and one of its main go-to gimmicks. Throughout the 12 movie series. So you get all those things in part three for sure. And I mentioned the kills. You know, every Friday the 13th movie is known for its glorious, gory kills. Which is your favorite in this movie? What's the most juicy, beefy one to you?
The squished head.
Squished head.
Squished head with the eyeball come out.
Oh yeah.
Head when the eyeball comes out. It's like goo.
In 3D.
Yeah. You're like, God. When he Big Johns him.
That one's good. That one's probably my favorite one too, but man, the one that makes me uncomfortable is that guy who is always doing handstands and walking around on his hands. He comes around the corner and there's Jason. And he just chops right down on his old pee-pee. He splits him down the middle like a piece of wood. And you find him later, just split in half, stowed away up in the rafters.
Hey, like, man. Yuck. Whatever it takes.
Jason's
maybe if he stopped doing handstands all the time.
Yeah, he's like, he's having sex with that floor. Gotta kill him.
Yeah, he just keeps doing handstands. Jason saw an opportunity. That one does make you cringe, though. Makes you squee a little bit. You're like, ugh. It's not like a clean one either, like a clean kill. You don't see much of it, but it's kind of just like a whack followed by a thud. It's not like a nice little cut sound. It's like a whack. Like, you're like, ow.
He didn't know any better. He split him in half with a baseball bat.
Yeah, like, that would have been worse, actually. Like, if he just hit him and it didn't kill him with the machete, just gave him one good, like, giant Jason swing with a baseball bat to the nuts. Like, that might be worse.
You know, there's some throughout this franchise that are great. There's, in Freddy versus Jason, there's the you go ahead and say is your favorite kill in that movie.
Yeah, the foldaway bed. There's a guy on the foldaway bed and he just kind of slams him up in it.
Yeah, like reverse bend. That's a good one. Jason X, the one where Jason goes to space. he takes this woman by the hair, dunks her head in nitro, what is it?
Liquid nitrogen? Glycerin.
Liquid nitrogen, thank you.
Nitroglycerin.
Yeah, she explodes. Yeah.
He grabs her, throws her in a sack of toys, and takes her downtown and gives her to Mr. Potter.
Sack of toys?
Well, it's Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. His name's Mr. Potter, right?
I'm thinking, like, money.
No.
Dead body or a sack of toys.
Put him toys. It's Christmas. He's going to deliver toys to the Mr. Potter. Mr. Potter? Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get kind of confused, you know.
Yeah. In the second Friday the 13th movie, Jason kills this dude in a wheelchair with a machete to the face, and he falls in the wheelchair backwards down the stairs with the machete stuck in his face. I can see Jason doing that to Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
I can see George Bailey doing that to Mr. Potter.
George Bailey did. We don't know what happened after Miracle on 31st Street. Or not. Fuck. Jesus. Why am I so confused tonight? Fucking Wonderful Life. Why am I so confused tonight? I know why I said that, because I was prepping to say a joke about the Miracle on Elm Street.
But that's crossover we didn't know we needed.
Yeah, I was like prepping to make that joke at some point, so I know why I screwed that up, but I've been doing that a lot tonight.
You know, what if Jason just slammed some people on some Legos? That would be pretty rough.
That would be awful. I've been watching a lot of Halloween Wars, Cake Wars, like, kind of style. It's just Halloween Wars, and the one time they had to do like your biggest fear mixed with, like, it was like a toy come to life mixed with a fear or something like that. And the one they did, like, a jack-in-the-box, popping out a jack-in-the-box with, like, all these different parts. But then it was like they also made a dad running away, but he was stepping on all these Legos and his feet were all bloody and shit. And they're like, yeah, like, what's the child, toy come to life, and they explain the toy come to life, and they're like, what's the fear? And they're like, stepping on Legos.
The last kill I'll mention that Jason does that's just ridiculous, probably the most ridiculous in the whole franchise, is in the eighth one. Jason takes Manhattan. This guy decides to box Jason. Juking, jiving.
Joe Grizzly.
Left hook, right hook. He's punching Jason back. He's trying to, like, punch him off this building, and the guy gets exhausted and he stops punching.
Rope-a-dope.
Jason hits one good swing and punches this guy's head off into
one
a dumpster.
Punch!
Yeah. Like, holy shit, that's ridiculous. This franchise is wild. It's all over the place. But there's something about it. Like, when I was a kid, I was so curious about these movies. I was fascinated with horror movies. I always wanted to watch them. Probably because I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I never got that because I never had a desire to watch horror movies. Like, I was very much afraid of things.
You did want to watch it.
No, I didn't. You would hog the TV. I still, to this day, based on just, like, subtle trauma, I don't know if you remember this commercial at all. I've tried to find it, and I can't. Because what was it AMC you would watch these on? They during that time, they would have, like, commercials for the event of, like, it's Halloween time, and they have, like, Halloween commercials for AMC showing Halloween movies. And there was one, I recall, which it was, like, the storyline of the commercial was, like, the guy broke up with a girl, sent her a teddy bear, she, like, got pissed, stabbed a knife in it, and then, like, the teddy bear started to, like, float with the knife and, like, was stalking her through the hallways with this knife. Like, I remember that commercial because of trauma.
Yeah, I don't like that either. What was I gonna say? I was getting to a point. Oh, I was saying I was always fascinated with these movies, and one of our cousins had seen all these movies, and I would ask him questions, curiosity things like, You know, who is Jason? Like, what? Why is he doing this? Like, where are they at? And I remember I asked, I was like, do you ever actually get to see what his face looks like? And he's like, yeah, I think you do in one of them. I always wanted to see that movie. Turns out it's every movie.
Yeah.
Every single one of these, you see his face at some point. And it's always different, and it's always, you know, meant to be grotesque and shocking and that kind of thing. But, that's something I will also compliment about these movies in general. The special effects, the makeups, the prosthetics, the gore, it's all pretty impressive to me and inspiring, too, like... Seeing stuff like this, especially horror movies in general, made me want to try to recreate that or make my own stuff.
Yeah.
To the point where you and I made our own fan Friday the 13th movie. And the way I did the Jason look, I got one of those cheap, like $1 hockey masks that glow in the dark. I painted it. First I baked it in the oven. So the plastic was loose. I formed it to like a more accurate shape because those fuckers are just like flat circles. Yeah. Bent it with like a metal coat hanger, baked in the oven, held its shape, painted it, scratched it up, did this and that. I think it looked pretty legit. And then I took our actor, John, who's been on the show for our Dream episode. He was my Jason Voorhees, and I put a pair of pantyhose over his head and did that up with makeup, and that looked pretty legit too. So like things like that were
I mean, we did Friday the we did your Freddy too.
Freddy, yeah, makeup. We did a Nightmare on Elm Street fan movie
we
too.
We did Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, indeed. Style. So most of my movies in general that I made were horror themed, and a lot of inspiration came from these movies that we're talking about right now. A makeup stuff, like my Freddy Krueger that I made all myself, I made it with my mother's makeup kit, toilet paper and Elmer's glue. So
whatever it takes.
And it took that.
Mine was Elmer's glue.
I put toilet paper and Elmer's glue and that green hairspray that like dyes your hair green. I spray that all over your face too.
Yeah.
For we made our own like Creature from the Black Lagoon movie. So yeah, Jason and the Friday the 13th franchise has been a big part of my life in a sense. That fan movie we made, I eventually showed it at an exhibition
festival.
Yeah, it's kind of like that at my college, and it won an award. It won like the Viewer's Choice Award.
And even then people were like, I want to meet your brother, is he like that in real life? And you're like, no,
don't meet your heroes, right?
Yeah, don't meet your heroes. We'll disappoint. I guarantee it. But
you're like Shelley. You need to not kill your self-esteem, but increase it.
Increase my self-esteem. Nah, it's just the right amount. I just watched this one. It's funny because I kind of fell into this loop where it's like, I don't want to watch another one because I know I enjoy this one. So I just keep watching this one again and again and again. It's good. It's highly watchable around the Halloween time. Very fun time. Very fun, campy, slasher movie fun. Like where Halloween is a slasher movie, sure, but I think it's like ingenious. Like it's really good and smart and fun and all that. And even like from what you've said about the original Friday the 13th, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, it's pretty scary. It has very scary moments. A lot of, it's got a lot of style and different things like that. But this one, these are more like, These are the date movie Halloween films. Now, they definitely are aged, these ones. Like, Halloween, like, I don't feel too much age outside of the dialogue when I watch Halloween. But these movies have aged in a lot of ways, including especially watching this one and seeing those 3D effects take place in, like, the weirdest ways.
I'll put it to a food analogy. In horror, Halloween, the movie, is, like, for me, a filet mignon, right?
Some bacon. Applewood smoked bacon around it.
That's good.
And a slab of garlic butter on top.
And Friday the 13th Part 3D is a gooey cheese pizza. You know, it's not good for you. But it's
like,
good to eat.
Like Friday the 13th is kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
The cheese pizza kind of movie. Or maybe, like I said earlier, like Halloween's filet mignon and Friday the 13th Part 3 is a bag of Twix.
Bag of Twix. Bag of candy. Light a candle, bag of candy. It's literally a movie you throw on and just enjoy. You don't need to like it's a popcorn movie. Shut off your brain and just kind of watch it. Whereas a lot of horror movies,
all the Friday the 13th movies are.
No, yeah, and that's what I'm kind of getting at. Because I mean, there are horror movies that are you hear them like, oh, it's a smart horror movie, or it is a horror movie where like it keeps you on the edge of your seat for the entire time. This movie doesn't necessarily ever keep you on the edge of your seat. I don't even necessarily think this movie is in any way, shape, or form scary at any point in
time.
Maybe
if you're younger. I think we're kind of desensitized to films like this, these slasher movies
in
general.
Hell, I'm even getting better nowadays because I'll watch like I watched that new Conjuring last night, and I'm like, this wasn't scary at all.
I mean, hell, like a year or two ago, I'd fall asleep to a movie. I was falling asleep to Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I was like, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. This music, though, is just too good.
Yeah, I won't do that with the first one, but any of the other Nightmare movies, I can just fall asleep to them. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Wrong to think that the Nightmare on Elm Street theme kind of sounds like the beginning to Home Alone, the Home Alone theme.
I'm all right with that. They're both equally as scary. And, you know, I was just saying, like, I can fall asleep to a movie like that. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with us? A little bit ago, we were talking about our favorite murders of this movie in this franchise.
A little bit ago, we were talking about Spy Kids. So, you know, here we are. We're sick. We need help. I'm a slasher. I have to be stopped. This movie is a lot of fun. This is the first time I've watched it in a while, but what was interesting to me, I mean, it's a shorter movie, not long, was I threw this on. I knew the wife was going to fall asleep pretty quick into it, and she did, and I ended up watching it all. Like, I just sat through the rest of it, just to kind of see how it played out and everything.
As one who has seen all the movies in this franchise, I'm going to put out, like, I guess, a top five for go-to. Like, if someone's curious about this huge-ass franchise and there's five on the table that you could just, like, I'll watch this one. I'll try it out. These are the ones I'd recommend. This is just, I'm just some guy, so my opinion doesn't mean diddly. But if you're listening and care, this is what I would say. The original, 1980, Friday the 13th, is a go-to. It's a horror movie classic. Twist ending, even though that's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, people know now.
Yeah, there's also some shocking, memorable scares. I would say this one, Friday the 13th Part 3, for, as we mentioned earlier, it's where Jason gets his iconic look, and the 3D gimmick, if you can see it in 3D, do that. It's just more fun to watch. The fourth one, which is the next film in this series, often people say it's the best in the series. It might be the best. It's not my favorite, but I do enjoy it. It has some real juicy kills. It actually has some of the best characters in the series. but it also has Corey Feldman as young Tommy Jarvis, who is one
Tommy
of the,
Doyle.
He's one of the
who
main
would win
characters.
In a fight, Tommy Jarvis or Tommy Doyle? But Tommy Doyle now.
Probably Tommy Jarvis, because he goes a little crazy, and he's the one who kills Jason in part four.
Hey, Tommy Doyle almost kills a couple people.
And with a big Doyle coil. I keep saying he. The last two I would recommend is the sixth one, Jason Lives. That one is very self-aware, to the point where it does have a James Bond like gun barrel scene, but instead of turning and shooting, he turns and slashes. It has that great song by Alice Cooper, He's Back. He is like zombie Jason. He gets resurrected all of like Frankenstein monsters, you know, and yeah, it's just a very fun movie in that series. And the last one I'd recommend is actually the remake. Nostalgia for it. Watched it a lot in high school. It was one that, you know, friends would come over. You'd put that one in. And we'd all gather around and have a movie, like a horror movie night, and watch that movie. We did that many a time. You can assume why. But it also had Jared Padalecki in it. And we're big Supernatural fans, and he's Sam Winchester in that series. So seeing him fight Jason was pretty fucking cool.
And hell, I mean, that's the only reason I ever watched the movie My Bloody Valentine, was because Jensen Ackles was in that movie.
Yep, yep.
I've almost rewatched that movie once or twice, too. I'm like, oh, this movie sucks. But
ones I'd avoid, I wouldn't say many to avoid. I would say Jason Takes Manhattan avoid. It's pretty awful. Listen to the title, Jason Takes Manhattan. He gets to Manhattan in the last 10 minutes of the movie, and he's not even in
Manhattan.
But when
he gets there, he takes it.
Yeah, they're not even there. They, like, filmed in Vancouver in Canada. They're in Times Square for one shot, and it took almost the entire budget.
If we're going by that logic, my friend, let's look at the Avengers. They weren't in New York. They were in Cleveland.
That's right. And I would avoid.
Tell me that you're Dark Knight Rises. They're in Pittsburgh. They're not in Gotham.
Yeah, they're Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I'd also avoid the ninth one, which is Jason Goes to Hell. Awful.
Does he
bizarre.
Go to hell on that one?
Yeah, it's bizarre. He gets killed in the opening scene, and it turns out, like, the reason he's unstoppable and evil are these like demon slugs, and the rest of the movie are these slugs that go into people and they get possessed and start killing others, and it's all driving him towards resurrecting himself with the Book of the Dead from Evil Dead, like the same book. And
cinematic universe before cinematic universes were cool.
Well, yeah, you know, there is a scene to see for this movie, and it would be in the last scene. So you got this hour and a half movie. It's all junk until the last 10 minutes. Jason does come back through the Necronomicon, and ultimately he gets killed. And the only thing that's remaining in the final shot of the movie is his hockey mask in the dirt. And out of nowhere, Freddy Krueger's glove comes out of the ground, grabs the mask, drags it into the earth, and you hear Freddy's evil laugh. Like,
you hear Freddy say, "Bitch."
It set it up for Freddy versus Jason, which didn't happen for a whole decade after this movie. After it was teased, a whole decade later it took.
Doesn't surprise me. What? How? Let's spoiler talk real quick, because I'll never watch it. Why does Freddy fight Jason?
So in Freddy versus Jason, Freddy is losing his power. He can't kill anymore because people have forgotten about him. So he starts possessing or invading the dreams of Jason, and he is causing Jason to awaken and kill people. And he's killing them in a way that it's like the people that are getting killed are, what is the word I'm trying to go for? He's like trying to kill them in a way that makes people remember Freddy. So I can't remember. Shit, I just watched this. They, I think it's like, it turns out they're like the last of the Elm Street children, right? That Jason's killing. So it makes people like do some research, and they find out about Freddy Krueger, which gives Freddy his power back. So he, now Freddy is juiced up and he can kill again. But Jason keeps killing. He's killing people like, hey, that was my kill, bitch, kind of thing. So now they start fighting. And the ending's pretty awesome, their final fight scene. The rest of the movie is just like early 2000s goofy horror movie, you know, slasher stuff. But yeah, it's entertaining too. I would almost put that in that like top five list to check out. I probably would, but you know, it's pretty good. But let's dabble into our horror movie.
Factory. Mishmash Factory. So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. This is where we generally take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who composed it, who would star? Modern booking for the modern audience. However, I mean, there's only one person that generally really survives and is memorable-ish in this one, and then there's Jason, right? So the cast is a spattering of really nondescript individuals. So with that, we decided that we are in the spooky season and, you know, have a little fun, do a factory here where we will put together what would you say, the most powerful horror villain in existence, select his attributes, his weaponry, and, his style by mixing together horror movie characters.
Yeah, we're going to Frankenstein this perfect horror movie villain.
This would be like, oh, I'll take Chucky but with Freddy Krueger's glove and
Val Kilmer's lips,
and you know, you'd be seduced by him and you'd be like, man, he's so cute and sexy, and then you'd get cut by his gloves.
So you get what we're going for here. We're going to take this piece from this horror movie character, this piece from that one, and ultimately we're going to have a damn monster movie.
Exactly. So with that being said, I ultimately, I'm going to start. You want to work together to make this? You want to work together to make this? All right. So I personally think the most iconic / scary face to see is the Michael Myers face, in my opinion. I think it's the creepiest mask, the creepiest face. I don't ever look at Freddy, I'm like, he's scary. It's like him, and it's Tim Curry's Pennywise.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in agreement on both of those. I will disagree with you about what you said about Freddy Krueger. Look at that guy, and he's
look
scary
at him, and then just say, bitch. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
I don't like looking at Freddy Krueger. It makes me sick. He's disturbing to look at.
So is Michael Myers, because it makes you pee a little bit.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Although, I will agree with the horror movie mask of Michael Myers. But hear me out. What's his name? Fuck, I forget his first name. Crane is his last name. The creepy old guy from Poltergeist 2.
That's
scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. Here, I'll make a compromise. Michael Myers mask, that guy's voice.
Jesus. Why
but you hear it through the mask.
Richard.
Let me
can we make it to when wherever he walks it rains?
Okay.
So it's just raining all the time. So guy's voice from the Poltergeist 2 and Michael Myers' face. I mean, body-wise, like stature-wise, there's only two that I can think of. Because like Jason and Michael Myers are all very similar, right? In terms of stature. They're big, tall fucks.
Big bastards.
But what if you did like leather face, like a big body?
You want a big body guy?
Yeah, like leather face.
I got a big body guy for you. Horror movie icon, big body, King Kong.
Jesus. That's not a horror movie to me. I mean, back then, maybe, because people were just afraid of, like, literal trains on film. Like, yeah. Oh, God, it's a train.
Right at us.
Yeah, that's a horror movie. It's a train.
That was in that was like 1912.
Still, bunch of pussies. I wouldn't necessarily say that. What if we did
a shark? His body.
Just Michael Myers' mask stretched over. He'd look like a luchador shark.
Lucha.
As spite in you, but it's underwater, so it's like...
No. We already set this up. It could have Jaws' body, because everywhere he goes, it rains.
Ah, so he's got the... Okay.
Rains salt water.
It was Camp Lazlo. Was it Camp Lazlo? I was going to say, what show was it where there was a shark character, but he had headphones on that went over his gills and had water? Oh, I'm trying to think of what show that was. I think it was Camp Lazlo.
It's our monster movie.
Yeah, he's got Jaws, Michael Myers' mask with that guy's voice and wearing headphones with water in them on his gills. That's terrifying. It's scary.
Now we don't have to do that.
We could do, like, I was thinking, like, Leatherface, like, little, I don't know, he's, like, stockier, so to speak.
What about Jennifer's body?
I think it's up to you. What are you thinking?
You're pitching hard for Leatherface's body, so I'll give it to you, but you have to give me the legs.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I want Chucky's good guy legs with those little good guy shoes. It's just... those little shoes running at me.
Oh, shit. All right. So you just have this... Little legs coming at you. So he's like the slowest killer in existence.
He's not slow. He's scurries.
He's like dragging his knuckles on the ground and shit.
Yeah.
Coming at you.
Gonna be a big, big bastard.
What weapon are we using? Freddy Krueger's gloves, but he also has the chainsaw.
I want Freddy Krueger's glove, but each finger is a different weapon. Iconic weapon.
Freddy Krueger's glove, but each finger is Chucky heads. And they all talk.
Each finger is the leprechaun.
Shit.
I'm the leprechaun.
No.
You could have one finger be, you know, Michael Myers' knife. I don't know the type of knife it is. Not a butcher knife. It's a bigger one. One could be a chainsaw, like a little mini chainsaw finger. Could have, I don't know, what's another iconic weapon that I'm just not thinking of in horror? You got, what is it? A ghost face's, like, hunting knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
You got
one more. Got one more finger.
One more finger. We got to go with, shit. Last thing.
A graboid tongue.
That's pretty spooky. It's pretty spooky.
Spooky.
That's pretty terrifying. Michael Myers' head, Michael Myers' head with the guy from the old guy from Poltergeist 2's voice, rains everywhere he goes, Leatherface's body, Chucky's legs. And Freddy Krueger's hand, but on each hand he has a different weapon from a different horror movie.
This thing is, and whatever we call this movie,
he's got it on that hand. He's got the Infinity Gauntlet on the other one. It's just done.
And whatever this movie's called with this killer, it's in 3D.
Not James Cameron 3D. Red and blue 3D.
Exactly. Red and blue 3D only.
That's a movie. That's a movie. Pay us. We'll make it. Oh, shit.
What's the name of our monster?
Jimmy Stewart.
like Michael Myers.
Michael Stewart.
It's synonymous with like Mike Myers, the actor. So Jimmy Stewart,
the killer. The actor? No, the killer, the horror film character.
You know.
You got the shape, you got the blob, you got the Jimmy Stewart.
Man, this is becoming something that was going to be a joke that turned into something I'm going to fantasize about. I need that.
You're going to have a dream of that thing chasing you tonight and be like, no. But indeed, well, that about does it. Wraps her all up for me. What about for you?
Yeah, even your dog doesn't like the sound.
I know. She's like, I gotta get out of here.
Let me out.
Too late. Ready or not, here Jimmy Stewart comes. Indeed, that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked your, be sure to check us out over on Spotify. That is our primary site. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is our primary site. That's where we're posting the show to first, and you can find all subsequently from there. We get shipped out everywhere else, so Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're posting links to the show, clips of the show, and things that Gus makes, memes Gus makes as well. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook, type in three. We'll be there. You'll be safe. Come on in. Jason won't find you there. I like to post memes of what we're watching each and every week, and I include the links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.